Alberto Rios was Arizona's inaugural poet laureate and is the author of 10 books, including 3 short story collections. He's also host of Arizona PBS's Books and Company, and he's even popular in the realm of rock and roll, thanks to U2 using his poem, The Border, a Double Sonnet, during the band's current Joshua Tree tour. And as of this month, Rios is the new director of ASU's Virginia G. Piper Center for Creative Writing. And even with all of that going on, Alberto Rios has found time to talk with me. Alberto, why is the Piper Center position a good fit for what you think writers need and what the community needs from writers?
Well, I think it's the culmination of the thinking brain part of what I do. I think I go out into communities. I certainly go out onto the page and offer myself there. This is a chance now for me to learn from what I've done, help pass that on in the ways that I've been a teacher, and do it in a very formal way with the support that the Piper Center now affords to me to afford to others. And that's a kind of a very wonderful position to be in.
Who are the kinds of people who want to learn at the Piper Center? I think people have a fixation as to what being a writer is. I imagine you're going to see all sorts of different people there.
Oh, absolutely. And I can say now that writing has very little to do with the page. It has everything to do with thinking. It has everything to do with solving the problems of the world and solving the non-problems of the world. That is to say, simply celebrating. We forget that part. And in this very confused time, we want to think that everything is a problem. And so many things are, but not everything. And the human spirit guides us in ways that are solid. They're centuries old, those feelings of why we persist, why we keep moving forward. And I think they're still here. I don't mean to be Pollyanna-ish about it, but I think we can, in so many ways, as human beings, certainly in my position at Piper, we can work forward thinking about a bias toward meaning, not simply complaint, not simply pulling our hair out about everything, but how do we start to add up all the things we've done, the things we know how to do, the things we care about? How do we add them up and let them speak? It doesn't have to be shouting. It doesn't have to be yelling. Mm-hmm. It's what we do. And if we do it and do it well, I think things will speak for themselves.
Here's a loaded question for you. How important is writing as a form of communication, but not necessarily between human to human, but within ourselves? And people have journaled forever.
Yeah. First, it's important to know you don't have to show all your writing to everybody. A lot of writing is for us personally, exactly as you say. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to turn around. It's like our dreams. We don't have to necessarily turn around and explain them to everybody. And you know what it's been like to listen to somebody else's dreams. First 30 are okay, but after that, it wears on you. A lot of writing is an act of clarification. We think, we overthink, we underthink. Writing kind of marshals us along through that. I think it's a boat on that great river, and it helps us. To that extent, I think writing is incredibly important. Some people sing. Some people do other things. They doodle bridges and become architects. We do it in different ways, but writing is one very good way. It's also a way to react to the world. We keep so many things inside, in our brain, in our mind. We are thinking these things. But writing, expressing beyond the limits of the skin and moving on to the page, which then propels us or imagines that we are moving forward even beyond that, that somebody might read it. This says, I am thinking, I am expressing something, I'm clarifying it, and I am offering it. I am not simply keeping it to myself.
How often do you write? And are you self-critical sometimes, but not all the time, to give you some of this freedom you talked about?
Yeah. You know, I think that's a wonderful question. When do I write? I don't know anymore. I do write, but my gauge is not how much have I written at the end of a day. It's more how much have I written at the end of a year. And so I don't fall into the trap of, oh my God, I didn't write 250 words today. Graham Greene is famous for writing exactly 500 words a day, every day, which doesn't seem like much till at the end of his career. It's one of the greatest oeuvres we have. I mean, it was massive. It adds up. He measured it in that with using numeracy, 500 words. He literally apparently would stop mid-sentence, put his pen down and go down for the martini. You know, I often joke that I work for 2 weeks every other day. time isn't the gauge. I don't know when I write. I just know that I do. When I write, I am surprised. And I love that. It is not tired. It is not something I'm predicting. It's not something I've come ahead of time to write down. I am surprised.
There are some who are writers who will talk about the burden of writing, that they mm-hmm. are tormented, that if they did not write, what else would they do? Can writing be something that is at a spiritual divide, in a sense, where we can feel wonderful about it and also mm-hmm. feel forced in some ways? Mm-hmm.
Sure. The writer, I think, is someone who's willing to be, and I'm going to use a scary word, trapped by a single word on a page for days. That's what some people articulate as the burden of writing. I can't move forward. I can't get out of this jail. But there's something wondrous about that as well. It means you're thinking, the word matters to you. Out of 500,000 words that you could have chosen out of the dictionary, and there are 500,000, you chose this word, and symbiotically, it is choosing you. And so for that moment, it's a moment of grace and a moment of burden. You are kept from moving forward. And in this harried time, that's almost illegal. We are dependent on forward movement all the time. So to stop still is both a poetic act and a very personal moment of epiphany.
Alberto, you are the host of Arizona PBS's Books and Company,
yes.
which has been on for a number of years, and you've interviewed so many interesting authors. What have you learned from this long list of writers who come from various genres?
If I've learned one thing over all of these years of doing it, is that writers have never disappointed me. And that's an amazing thing to be able to say. It does not mean that I love every book, but I have never been steered wrong by a writer. When I read a book, and I read every book up for that show cover to cover, and I am glad. It has made me a fearless reader. It's made me read all sorts of things I wouldn't have sat down to read. And when I'm done, I am glad I read that book. And I am happy to follow along even when I'm not happy.
Alberto Rios was Arizona's inaugural Poet Laureate. He's also host of Books and Company on Arizona PBS, and his new job is head of the Piper Center at ASU. Alberto, nice to see you. Thanks for
coming. Thank you so much, Steve.